I would like to read Acts chapter 3 from verse 1 until the end. And Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, which is the ninth hour. And a certain man who was lame from his mother's womb was being carried, whom they placed every day at the gate of the temple called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who were going into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to enter into the temple, asked to receive alms. And Peter, looking steadfastly upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold I have not, but what I have, this I give I to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise up and walk." And having taken hold of him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him, that it was he who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And as he helped Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico which is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And Peter, seeing it, answered the people, "Men of Israel, why are ye astonished at this? Or why do ye gaze on us as if we had by our own power or piety made him to walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he had judged that he should be let go. But ye denied the Holy and Righteous One, and asked that a man that was a murderer should be granted to you. But the originator of life ye slew, whom God raised from among the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And by faith in his name has made this man strong, whom ye behold and know. And the faith which is by him has given him this complete soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that ye did it in ignorance, as also your rulers. But God has thus fulfilled what he had announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer. Repent, therefore, and be converted for the blotting out of your sins, so that times of refreshment may come from the presence of the Lord, and he may send Jesus Christ, who was foreordained for you, whom heaven must indeed receive till the times of the restoring of all things, of which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since time began. Moses indeed said, 'A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up to you for your brethren like me. Him shall ye hear in everything whatsoever he shall say to you.' And it shall be that whatsoever soul shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. And indeed all the prophets from Samuel and those in succession after him, as many as have spoken, have announced also these days, 'Ye are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God appointed to your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. To you first God, having raised up his servant, has sent him, blessing you and turning each one of you from your wickedness.'" Dear friend and dear brethren, it is very interesting to read in these first chapters of the Acts of the Apostles and see Peter preaching. I was recently reminded that Peter says in his first epistle that the gospel is preached by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And interesting enough, in the second epistle, he says the scope of no prophecy of Scripture is had from its own particular interpretation, For prophecy was never uttered by the will of man, but holy men of God spake under the power of the Holy Spirit. I think these two things flow in together, especially in the first preaching he held in front of the people of Israel. The Holy Spirit had just come and filled the house, and Peter and the 11 stood up and preached the word of the glad tidings in the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to see that in that preaching, Peter refers to the prophet of Joel. We have spoken about this a little bit in the house, and I feel I have to learn a little bit more about this passage and its application. But there is one thing that comes out in this quotation from Joel, that Peter says that whosoever believeth in the Lord Jesus shall be saved. What a powerful word at the beginning when the gospel was preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that wonderful word? You can take it for granted that God is true to that word. Everyone that hears that word and believes in it will be saved. There is no uncertainty about that. I find this very, very wonderful. And Paul preaches in that second chapter, and what he brings before those that attend the preaching is the wonderful resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the wonderful foundation of our salvation, dear believers. If the Lord Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, we wouldn't have the sure mercies of David. Chapter 13 in Acts. If the Lord Jesus wasn't raised from among the dead, we wouldn't have the forgiveness of sins. That's Corinthians. If the Lord Jesus wasn't raised from among the dead, the Holy Spirit wouldn't be here. And if the Lord Jesus wasn't raised from among the dead, there would be no millennium. That's what you find in Acts chapter 20, if I recall it rightly. So it's wonderful that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is preached by Peter, and it is a special testimony not only to the house of Israel, but also a special testimony to each one of us. This is our hope, that the Lord Jesus has been raised from among the dead, and the gospel is preached on the basis of this wonderful work of the Lord Jesus that he has accomplished on Calvary's tree. And this work, dear believer and dear friend, is for everyone here. No one is let out. God has the blessing for every man. God does not want that anyone go lost. But, and it doesn't say be saved, but it says come to the knowledge of the truth. Dear friend, why do we hear the gospel so often? It's not because maybe in the one or the other case it's uncertain whether we are saved, but that we come to the knowledge of the truth. The gospel is such a wonderful thing, dear friend. It's so deep. It's so wonderful. It's so wondrous. And I love to hear it again and again. It's a glad tidings of which we sing. It's old and yet it's so new. So Peter preaches in the power of the Holy Spirit in front of the house of Israel. And it comes a point where a lot of those that listened to the gospel were pricked in their heart. You have an expression in the seventh chapter which is totally different. In the seventh chapter, it says, and hearing these things, they were cut to the heart. Now I wish you are pricked in your heart, that you are affected, and raise the desire to hear the way by which you can be saved. I can only repeat what Peter has said. Believe in the Lord Jesus and be baptized and receive the forgiveness of sins and receive the Holy Spirit. All these things are very, very necessary. We can only preach repentance to God and believe in the Lord Jesus, as Paul did later on in the Acts of the Apostles. It is vitally important and inevitable, dear friend, that you do repent. Now, I would like to point you out that this is not something, how should I say, to your bad. It's to your good. Peter, when he had preached to Cornelius and his house, and he went up to Jerusalem, and he reported what had happened amongst the nations, they came to the conclusion that God had given the nations repentance to life. Remarkable expression, a repentance to life. I can tell you, dear friend, that when you do repent, it will be a turn in your life. To life. It's not your physical life any longer here of greatest importance, but the life that comes into your heart through repentance. How wonderful that is. And those in the beginning that were saved were to be baptized. Why were they to be baptized? Because they had to be saved from a perverse generation. They had to be saved from the Jews. And the baptism has a special application in that sense to the people of Israel who had been against the Lord Jesus. When you get baptized today, you have to be baptized in order to take a stand against the world. That is baptism. It is an outward profession that you belong to another man. A man that has no place on this earth. He was rejected. The Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8 got a distinct impression. The Lord wasn't here anymore. He left that scene and was in heaven. And the Ethiopian, he wanted to be identified with that man, not only in the way of blessing, knowing him in heaven, but also being separated from this scene here that has rejected the Lord Jesus. So, and there's another very important thing. When the gospel is preached and a person is saved, we do not want to have this person as a member of our company exactly. When a person is saved, it means that he is added to the assembly of God. That is very important, and what comes out very strikingly at the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. And the Lord added to the assembly those that were to be saved. Wonderful thing, dear brethren, that the Lord added to the assembly. And I trust that he is still doing that today. Anyone that receives the Holy Spirit belongs to the assembly of God. He is baptized by one Spirit into one body. And to the one body, all believers belong that have received the Holy Spirit. Now, we come to the passage in Acts chapter 3. And I want to urge you, dear friend, there are opportunities that can be missed. This man was at the gate, which is called Beautiful, and he was expecting alms. And he was dependent on that because of his state. He was lame from his mother's womb. There are other persons in Acts of the Apostles that were lame from the mother's womb. In chapter 13. Now here, in that sense, he was lame in relation to the religious world. You know what the religious world causes? It makes people lame. He's just an example of so many people that are lame. And in Acts chapter 13, it's a different thing. It's vanities, idols. This is the influence that makes people lame. But God wants to save from such a condition. And Peter and John approached that man sitting there at the gate. And he had, of course, other expectations. And this is What often happens in the gospel that people get preached to and they have other expectations than what is going to happen. Peter and John, they came to this man, and it says in verse 6, Peter said, "Silver and gold I have not, but what I have, this give I to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, rise up and walk." Now, this man had other expectations. And what he didn't expect was that he was offered to be healed 40 years in that condition. I'm not surprised that he didn't expect that somebody would stretch out his hand and offer to him to be healed. And it was a second, dear friend, a second in which he had to make up his mind. And thanks to God, he took the stretched hand from God to be healed. And Peter took him by hand and raised him up. And he sprang up, and he stood, and he walked. What a difference, dear friend. And I tell you another side of what is really true. If somebody is healed, the devil wants to be after the one that has preached. The devil wants to bring up the idea that it was because of a pious man that somebody was healed. No, it is not. Peter denies it, and rightly so. And I want to deny that any of my words may be the cause that you may turn to the Lord Jesus. I know for sure it is Him working in your heart. How wonderful that is. Now then, Peter turns to the people of Israel. A big opportunity that he got because of that healed man. And he turns to the people of Israel. And how remarkable is that? Here is a man saying the truth to the people of Israel that they had denied the Lord Jesus before Pilate. And he was the one who had denied the Lord. I tell you why he got the liberty. He got the liberty because he was justified by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And no one could touch him. No one could accuse him. No voice was raised. "Look, Peter, what are you saying to us? You have denied the Lord Jesus." No, he could tell them the truth and could bring the facts of their guilt before them. How wonderful that is. And I tell you something else, what he brought before the people of Israel. He brought before the people of Israel the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had said on the cross, "Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do." And what does Peter say? "I know ye have done it in ignorance." What a wonderful accord with the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus has not disappeared because he has died. It is there because he has been raised. And the gospel is preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And men were driven to preach that word. So how much they must have been affected by that word. And I'll tell you something more, what comes out in that wonderful preaching. You know, a lot of the believers are uncertain about the forgiveness of their sins. But if you repent and if you are converted, and the word "converted" is a very important one, it means that you turn from your former life into a totally new life and you never go back. That is conversion. The Thessalonians were converted. They turned from the idols to serve a living God and expect the return of the Lord Jesus from heaven. How wonderful that is. That is conversion. And I tell you something more, what comes out in these early chapters in the Acts of the Apostles. Those from the people of Israel that received the word were not only added to the assembly, they are spoken of as people that have been born again. Wonderful thing. Born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And they had a living hope because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You can read that in 1 Peter. It is so wonderful. Dear friend, what we find in Scripture, it is in such a harmony. Think of the Gospels. Think of the Acts of the Apostles. Think of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Everything that you find there is in wonderful harmony with all three sections of Scripture. It is so wonderful, dear friend. Now, a last word. This preaching ends with a very interesting remark. Today, a lot of people seek blessing, and they have their own idea of blessing. They want earthly blessing. They want to get rich. They want to have welfare in their life, in their job, in their family, and everything else. But here is a word that is very striking and which is addressed to the people of Israel. First of all, they have been blessed because of the seed of Abraham. And this is a reference to the Lord Jesus. In Galatians, you find there is a distinction between the seed of Abraham, referring to the believers, and then comes a section where it refers to the Lord Jesus. He is the seed of Abraham. By him, the whole blessing of God should come to all the believers. And it says, "And in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. To you first God, having raised up his servant, has sent him, blessing you, in turning each one of you from your wickedness." Think of what they had done to the Lord Jesus. And the blessing was to turn them away from their wickedness and give them a sense of the forgiveness of their sins. The Apostle Peter uses a very strong word here in this preaching. He speaks of the blotting out of your sins. I find this remarkable. We often speak of the forgiveness, which is entirely right. But note that word in this section, the blotting out of your sins. I often think, you know, people nowadays, they wonder and they sometimes get uncertain whether their sins are forgiven. Think of those being from the people of Israel, what they had done to the Lord. You might think, this can never be forgiven. But we know the Lord said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And here they get a wonderful assurance that their sins were to be blotted out and times of joy would come for them. This is the enjoyment of forgiving of sins. And we can only enjoy it if we have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Think of the remnant of Israel in the Epistle to the Hebrews. How they were assured of the forgiveness of sins. "Their sins and iniquities I shall no more remember," which not only had an application to the time in the early days of the apostles and throughout the times of the days of the apostles, but I suppose will also have an application in a day to come. May we all be encouraged and assured of our salvation, which we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you all, dear friends, who loves you all, in particular you young ones. Accept him in your heart. If you have the Lord Jesus in your heart, it will take you through all your life. And in fact, you will be equally enjoying and looking forward to his coming for his assembly, to which you belong if you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, for his name's sake. Amen.